basis, I'm attempting to learn a little Korean. So far, I feel pretty confident in saying Juar Gesa, which means Lord God. And that's all I've got. So I'm still working. I'm just going to be honest with you. That's all I've got. Some people would argue that I'm not real great at English. I just went up to the store the other day to buy some soda, and the lady kept laughing at me. She said, "When are you just going to call it pop?" And I said, "That's never going to happen." So these are things that I'm still dealing with. You can begin turning, if you have a Bible with you, to Acts chapter 11. I want to share with you very briefly, we've been in the book of Acts before, we're kind of returning to it. I actually thought it would be appropriate to return there, even with our Korean brothers and sisters in the congregation today, because I hope this will be an encouragement to all of us. 78%, that is the percentage of people in America who say they are Christians. Basically, 8 out of every 10 people say that they are Christians. But do you know what I'm realizing the longer I serve churches in America? I'm realizing that when we say Christian, not everyone is saying the same thing. Do you know what I mean? I think some people, when I talk to them about what is a Christian, they think of some pastor they've seen on TV. Sometimes, perhaps the worst example of that. Some people, when you ask them what is a Christian, maybe they think of an overbearing parent or some person in a church they grew up in who was always very judgmental and didn't show very much kindness. And sometimes people think, well, that's what a Christian is. Something that really registers in my heart is this. In America, we seem to have a tough time saying this person's a Christian, this person is not a Christian. But we keep seeing in places like Libya and Egypt, Christians are easy to define. Do you know why they're easy to define in Libya, in Egypt, in Sudan, in places all around this world? Because they're willing to die. You want to know who's a Christian? When their life is on the line, will they continue to say yes to the truth, or will they deny for a lie in order to take one more breath? You see, around the world, Christianity is a little bit easier, I'm afraid, to define. And in fact, this term Christian we're going to talk about briefly this morning. Of course, when I say we're going to talk about it, that means I'm going to talk about it. I think of that every time I say it. But the word, while we use it all the time, is only found 3 times in the Bible. And today we are going to look at the first and the best defined usage of the term Christian. Now, to give you a quick background as to what we've been looking at, if you remember, we saw previously Stephen, a spiritual man, a deacon in his church, was killed because he wouldn't say no to Jesus, even when others told him to. That seems kind of similar to something we've talked about. And so the Bible tells us that the people were spread out all over the place. And as they spread out, they didn't go into houses and hush really quiet and not talk about Jesus. They talked about him everywhere they went. They wanted people to know, Jesus loves you. God has a plan for your life. He wants to save you. He wants to make you a new person. And so they start telling this all across the way. That man who was at Stephen's execution, we know him as Paul. We saw his name as Saul. He, in fact, becomes a Christian. Jesus himself shares the gospel with him as he's walking on a road. And it's been about 10 years, and now we get to Acts 11. We're going to look at verses 19 through 21. Here's what it says from the Word of God. Now those who were scattered because of the persecution that arose over Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, speaking the word to no one except Jews. But there were some of them, men of Cyprus and Cyrene, who on coming to Antioch spoke to the Hellenists, that's basically people who weren't Jews, also preaching the Lord Jesus. and the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number who believed turned to the Lord. So the question becomes this: what is a Christian? And as I'm looking through here, we're going to get to this term Christian. We're going to see it in just a few moments. But as I look here, the first thing I see about a Christian is that a Christian has heard the message. You've got to hear the message in order to become a Christian. You've got to understand what God is doing. The Bible tells us in the book of Romans, how can they believe if they've never heard? And how can they hear unless someone preaches to them? And so we see in this little passage here, we see this understanding about who Jesus is and this message. The Bible tells us that they came and they spoke to them and they preached to them. This word preach is where we get our word evangelize, telling people about Jesus. So they're going out, and listen, inviting people to church is okay. That's just fine. But telling them about Jesus is even better. You know what? If you say, I'm not comfortable telling someone about Jesus, okay, well, maybe you invite them to church. Maybe you let them know that they're welcome to come to church. But more importantly than that, we want them to know who Jesus Christ is. Because without Jesus, the church has nothing to offer. Without Jesus, the church has nothing to offer. So a Christian has to hear the message, but hearing it is not enough. A Christian also has believed the message. Look again at verse 21. It says, and the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number who believed did what? They turned to the Lord. So the question becomes, how do we prove what we believe? The Bible here is saying you have to have a life change, that basically anyone can walk this direction, okay? This is the direction of just walking towards sin, just doing what you want. The Bible says that when you become a Christian, you stop walking that way, you do a 180, and you start walking a different, new direction. Now, this picture may be a little hard to figure out what it is. I'm going to help you. See the top, the shiny spot? That's the back of my head, okay? So if you say, I'm not sure what I'm looking at, just start at the shiny spot and work your way down. Okay, you have me, then you have a couple of Runblade boys, and this is when we went to the Cubs game. We have men's groups where we come together, we read the Bible, we memorize scripture, we talk about what God is doing in our lives, and to celebrate kind of our first year, we said, let's go to a Cubs game together. So we went to a Cubs game. Now, I pulled out my phone to check the weather. And the weather said 70 degrees. And I said, that sounds like shorts and short sleeves to me. So I'm wearing shorts and short sleeves. I get in the van and I go down with my friends, who said nothing, to Wrigley Field. Guess what? Wrigley Field is in its own special atmosphere, where it is always roughly 20 degrees colder than it is in the rest of the city of Chicago. So I get there wearing my short sleeves, my shorts, no jacket, and I did this. Not for 9 innings, because yay, the Cubs let a team come back in the 9th, so we stayed till the 11th inning. I am freezing to death. So Tim goes and buys his sons a blanket, a Cubs blanket. And he says to me, do you want some of this blanket? Now, I swear to you, Cardinals fans, all I did was wrap my left arm in this blanket. It helped, though. It helped. I promise you, it helped. And I had my arm wrapped up, and I was feeling pretty good. But just because I wrapped up one arm in a Cubs blanket for a few innings does not mean I am a Cubs fan. For me to be a Cubs fan, I would have had to go home, take my Cardinals hat and burn it, and decide that championships really aren't that important. Yes, I did. All right. So, Here's what I want you to understand. Putting on a Cubs blanket for just as, Tim's messing with the technology. Who knows what's getting ready to happen here. Putting on a Cubs blanket for just a few minutes doesn't make you a Cubs fan, or putting on a Cardinals blanket doesn't make you a Cardinals fan. It comes down to your life being changed. A Christian is not someone who comes and sits in our chair for a few minutes. A Christian's not even someone who comes up here and maybe plays an instrument for an hour. A Christian is someone whose life has been changed because they've heard the message and they've what? They've believed the message. Again, verse 21 says, a great number believed and turned. They turned to the Lord. They knew they were going the wrong way. They want to come back to God's way, God's standard. And we remember here, look at verse 21 again. It says, the hand of the Lord was with them. People are not saved by my preaching. People are not saved by what we do. They are saved by God when we're obedient to go out and tell the story. That's how it happens. That's why it says in Revelation, salvation belongs to our God. It does not belong to First Baptist Church. It does not belong to the Corinne Church. It does not belong to any church. Salvation belongs to God. If someone gives their life to Jesus, I do not care where they go to church. If they go to a church that believes that the Word of God is the Word of God and that you can only be saved by faith in Jesus Christ, that's what's important. That's what we want to see out of people's lives. So we see here, these people heard the message, they believe the message, but we also will see that a Christian has purpose. Let's keep reading verses 22 through 24. So the report of this came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. When he came and saw the grace of God, he was glad, and he exhorted and encouraged them all to remain faithful to the Lord with steadfast purpose. For he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith, and a great many people were added to the Lord. So we saw Barnabas before. We see him living up to his name. Remember, Barnabas's real name is not Barnabas. When you go on Bible Jeopardy, just so you know, his name was Joseph. But the Bible only tells us that one time because he was such an encourager. I bet Barnabas smiled all the time. I bet someone walked up to Barnabas one time and said, "You're ugly." And Barnabas said, "Thanks, brother." I mean, this is the kind of guy he was. He was an encourager. He didn't let people get him down. And the Bible says he's encouraging them to a faithful purpose. He's saying there's something every Christian should do. So what is that? What is your purpose as a Christian? What should you do? I think the Bible's parable of the talents is a great place to look. Remember in the parable of the talents, you have this master, he's going off, and he brings some servants in front of him, and he says, "Here, I'm going to give each of you some money. I want you to invest it. Do something with it." And so he goes off, he comes back, and two of those servants used it well. And Matthew 25, 21 says, his master said to him, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Not good and faithful attender. The Bible says, good and faithful servant. You know, I just am so thankful for Judy, who just showed her faith in Christ by being willing to get baptized in front of about half of you that she does not know. And going through our new members class, one of the things we talk to people about is if you're going to be in a church, do something. We're not looking for people to sit in our seats. We can find that anywhere. We can go out and get some concrete blocks and put them in the seats. We don't need concrete blocks in the seats. We need servants. So how can you serve? I talked to Pastor Esewa about that this week. I said, "You know, I bet there's some ways in your church that you would like to see your people serve, just as there are some ways in our church I'd like to see our people serve. So if you are a part of First Baptist Church, a part of our First Family, what are a couple ways you can serve? Well, first of all, there's more than a couple, but let me just give you a couple, okay? One of the ways you can serve is right back there. Right back there with our tech team. I'm so thankful for Fred and Tim and what they do just week after week after week. But what happens if they get into a fight one Sunday morning and both get carted off to jail? Who's going to run the tech? Okay? Who's going to preach? Because I'm probably going to have to go bail them out, okay? Their wives are going to say, well, Pastor, you go do it. I'm kind of done with them. You know what? You say, I can't touch a computer. Listen, that's all right. They don't know what they're doing either. We want to just find some people. You say, you know what? I'm willing to learn. That's a great place you could help. We have some people that have been faithful in taking care of the counting of the money. You might not think about counting the money of the offerings as a job. Listen, counting's hard work. I've got some college grades to prove it. Okay? We need people that are willing to help us take care of that. We always need people that are willing to help us out in nursery, things like that. Well, I talked to Pastor Essaywa. I said, Pastor Essaywa, what are some ways that Karen people could help right in your own church? And he was talking about, you know, we have an opportunity for more Karen to help out with the clothes closet. I'm so thankful for Miss Marge and Norma, so many who come in and organize that, but we're opening opportunities so more Karen people can come in and you can help us run that. You can help us make sure it's really helping you and meeting a need. Something else Pastor Essaywa said is there are new Karen families coming into Rockford. There are new people coming. We need people to say, hi, how you doing? We want to invite you to church. We want to tell you about Jesus. Those seem like small ways, but let me tell you, as a pastor, and I'm sure I can speak for Pastor Essaywa, when you are living life as a servant, when you're living purpose, you bless the heart of your pastor. You really do. So every Christian has a purpose, and that purpose is to be a servant. And finally, a Christian should look like Jesus. This is one of my favorite parts of the book of Acts. It's really what I've been wanting to get to all morning long. Let's take a look at verses 25 and 26. It says, so Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul, and when he found him, again, Saul is Paul, when he found him, he brought him to Antioch. For a whole year they met with the church and taught a great many people. And in Antioch, the disciples were first called Christians. So prior to being called Christians, what were Christians called? We weren't always called Christians. We were called the Way. And where does that come from? Well, we don't know exactly. We can take some guesses. We know that John 14:6, which at this time wouldn't have been written down where they could see it, but it's something the disciples knew. Jesus said in the upper room that I am the way, the truth, and the life. Also, from Isaiah 40, verse 3, they were told to prepare the way of the Lord. I asked this week on YouVersion, can you come up with a new word for Christians? I found this to be somewhat challenging myself, so I thought I'd ask different people. Here's a few of the responses we got on YouVersion this week of if you were tasked to call Christians something new, what would you call them? One person said, the secured. Another person said, purposeful people. If they had had one more P, that would have been really great. I don't know what it'd be. I'll have to think on that one. Child of the One True King. I've been singing that song ever since I read that. And then my favorite this week, mini hymns. Mini hymns. The funny thing is, that's exactly what Christian meant. When people were looking at these believers, when they first called them Christians, they were literally calling them little Jesuses. We look at these people, they look like a little version of Jesus. So when we talked before about what is a Christian, we said a Christian is a Christ follower, someone who follows after Jesus. If you say you're a Christian, but you don't walk in that new way after Christ, then you're not a Christ follower. I've got something up here. Maybe someone in here knows what this is. Probably a lot of people like me don't have a clue, okay? So my sink in my house was leaking. Kitchen sink is leaking. I don't know how to fix it. So I finally decide to go down to the home improvement place and say, I need help fixing this. I need the new basket where you put the stopper in so you can wash the dishes. I go down there, I see it, I say, I need a new basket. And so the guy says, okay, here's the basket. Do you have the wrench? I've got a wrench. No, he said, do you have the wrench? So he walks me over and shows me this weird thing. I say, I don't think I have one of those at my house. So I take it home, and I'm looking at this. I'm looking at the basket. I say, okay, I'll put this new thing in. This will be great. I stick it in, and I might as well have just been playing ping pong. I had no idea what I was doing. So I did what any smart person should do when you can't figure out how to do something at home. I looked on YouTube, and I took my computer, and I set it next to the sink, and I typed in, change a basket. And suddenly, this thing made a whole lot more sense. I see this guy, and he says, you got to take this out first. You got to get all that junk out, stick this up, put it in there. Okay, pretty soon, I'm just going to town. I'm getting this thing out of there, throwing parts around. Nikki's going, what are you doing? I say, just stay in the living room. And I'm getting all of it taken care of. Finally, I get it in, I tighten it down, and I'm done. And I will tell you what, I'll be honest, I did leave a bowl under it for a week because I wasn't sure how well I did. It did not leak at all, did it, Nikki? What? I couldn't hear you. All right, there we go. So, there's a point to all this. This is not just, okay, Heath wants us to know he can fix a thing in his house. Listen, in order for me to change that, I needed a couple things. I needed some knowledge. And remember, the Bible tells us earlier that these people didn't just figure out how to be little Jesuses on their own. You had Barnabas and Paul show up, and they taught them in two ways. Number one, the Bible says they taught them for a year. A year. That's like whenever I went in and I'm trying to figure out what I need, that guy at the home improvement store had to teach me what I needed. It took longer than I thought it would take. I only wanted to be in there for 5 minutes. I was in there for about 15 because he had to show me this thing and how I was supposed to use it. But I still didn't quite understand. So when I pulled up YouTube, I saw a guy doing it. Now I can figure it out. I had no idea that would pick up the microphone. That was awesome. Hitting myself on the head with a wrench. Good job, Heath. But they didn't just learn by sitting in class. They saw two amazing Christians, one whose name was changed because he was such an encourager, the other one whose name is changed because his life was so different. They saw these guys, and they said, I don't just want to hear what they do. I want to watch what they do. I want to do something different. I don't want to be the old person. If you say you're a Christian and you're still walking this way, you're still looking the same way you've always walked, you're still talking the same way you've always talked, you're still thinking the same way you've always thought, then you do not understand what it is to be a Christian. The Bible says you are a new creation, brand new. I've got a car, it's got a few rust spots on it. I can go and I can work on those rust spots and knock them out, but guess what? It's still the same old car. How am I really going to get rid of those rust spots? Buy a new one. That's how I'm going to get rid of them. And that's what Jesus wants to do for us. He wants us to be brand new, not just shined up. He completely saves us. He forgives your sins. He gives you new life. And you know what I love about this? They didn't call themselves Christians, did they? It says they were first called Christians. Who called them Christians? People that watched them. People who saw them. See, I think these Christians were still calling themselves the Way. In fact, after Acts 11, they keep calling themselves the Way. But people keep calling them little Jesuses, Christians, little Christ, because they look like Jesus looked. They're talking and walking and doing these things. So listen, it's not about what you call yourself. What are you showing to the world? What does God say about you? Do people look at your life and say, he's different, she's different, and I know why. Listen, to be a Christian does not mean you've heard the message, because we've all heard the message. Being a Christian means you've heard it, you've believed it, you have a purpose, and other people can see it. This morning, I don't know where you are sitting in that seat, but I know this. Being a Christian means your life has changed. And so I encourage you in this way. Think about this. Is my life changed? Is my thinking different? Are my words different? Are my feet going to different places? Or am I how I've always been? Is Jesus making a difference? I'd like to ask everyone to go into a time of prayer. And in this time, I'm simply asking you to do this. Ask God, God, what do you want me to do? Just ask God right there between you and Him. Just praying right there where you are. God, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to know? Perhaps this morning, God's been working on your heart. Maybe you realize you're not sharing the gospel enough. Perhaps you need to say, Jesus, I will be a greater witness for you. But most importantly is this. Is there anyone here this morning who would say, I've heard the message, but I've never let Him change my life? And today, I want to say no to sin. I want to say yes to Him. And I want to walk a brand new way.